It's a wonderful thing for you and me to have a little chat together day after day, isn't it? Just to sit down and talk about the one who's altogether lovely. The one who's able to satisfy our heart's desires. The one who loves us with an everlasting love. You remember that wonderful verse, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's John 13:1. I'm so glad that my failures and weaknesses and frailty never affect his love for me or for any of his children. That's the kind of a Savior to have, isn't it? One who not only loved us enough to die for us, as Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were still active in our sins, Christ died for us. But he keeps on loving us. As Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's the only kind of a love God has. And I oftentimes say, he loves the unlovable. Go and look in the glass, brother, and thank him for his love and for his grace. How good the Lord has been to all of us. Even to men and women here on earth who have no place for his son, have rejected his son, yet God has allowed them to be blessed in many, many things. But the tragedy is they have no spiritual life. And here in chapter 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians, we've been discussing together three kinds of people. In verse 14, we have the natural man, the unsaved man, who rejects the word of God. He's ignorant of God. He was so ignorant of God that they crucified the Lord of glory. And as Paul says, had they known it, the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was the ignorance of God that caused that. And that's the basis for sin, is ignorance of God. And may I again suggest, the princes of this world, both Jew and Gentile, not just the Jew and Gentile are guilty of crucifying the Lord of glory. The Jews crucified one who claimed to be God. Hence, to them he was a blasphemer. The Gentiles crucified one in whom they found no fault. Question of his character. They found him without fault of character. Crucified him. And even though Pilate said 3 times, I find no fault in him at all, he scourged him and then crucified him. Whoever heard of one being crucified also being scourged? They rarely ever, as far as I know, the Lord is the only one who was scourged and then crucified. The hatred of men for God. And the reason for it? Ignorance. Ignorance of God. And one only needs to talk to people today about the Savior, and you'll find how ignorant they are of all the wonderful provision God's made for them. This is the natural man, the unsaved man. That's verse 14. Then verses 15 and 16 of the second chapter, you have the spiritual man. This is the one who feeds on the Word of God. This is the Christian who's accepted the Savior, become the recipient of life, indwelt by the Spirit of God, covered with the righteousness of Christ, and so on. And he feeds on the Word of God. His delight, as the psalmist says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law did he meditate day and night. That's the first psalm, by the way, which is prophetic of our Savior. Yes, true of believers who are feasting upon him. You see, as I go to the Word of God, I find what kind of a Savior I have. Listen, Christian friend, let me ask you a simple question. What do you know about God? What do you know about Jesus Christ? You know, I find sometimes people who are very knowledgeable about the doctrines of the church, and rightly so, but for some reason they've missed the loveliness, the tenderness, the compassion of Christ, where you see it in the Gospels. I can't read the Gospels through without realizing how wonderful, how marvelous the Savior is. If I'm talking to anyone today who's not a Christian, my friend, I challenge you to read the four Gospels. If that's too long, then read Luke and John. And there we see in Luke's Gospel the tenderness, the compassion, the wonders of his love for men and women. My, how he loved men and women, especially those who are downcast and downtrodden, failures in life. He can transform them. He can transform a Mary Magdalene into a wonderful saint. He can take the woman who was in sin and transform her into a child of God. Oh, I tell you, friend, what a wonderful Savior he is. When you come to Gospel through John, where he will have all his wonderful claims, he's the great I Am, the El Shaddai. Do you know him? Search the Scriptures. He challenged the Jews of his day when he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." I hope he wouldn't say it about you, what he said about them. "They are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Had you believed Moses and the prophets, you would have believed me, for he wrote concerning me." The spiritual man is the man who's enjoying Christ, feeding on the Word of God, growing in the grace and knowledge of God, until he comes to a place of maturity where he's perfectly, absolutely perfectly satisfied with the Savior, acknowledging him as his Lord and Master. And I'll tell you, my friend, that's not a life of bondage. That's a life of freedom in Christ. I've had people of the world say, "You Christians, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do that, and the other thing. How in the world do you live?" Well, we've got a life, my friend, of which you're totally ignorant. The enjoyment of a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. As we could say with John, 1 John 4:19, you remember, we love him because he first loved us. And the spiritual man feeds continually on the Word of God. And then we were dealing with the carnal man. Chapter 3, the first four verses, where four times in four verses he talks about the carnal man. Now, this is the man who neglects the Word of God. There are many Christians like this. The Lord's got a lot of babies in his family. Now, I'm not talking about those who have just accepted the Savior. As Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good." No, he's talking here about those who've been on the way for a long time. I'm ever amazed at this. When I read the first chapter and read the third chapter of Corinthians, in chapter 1, they had all the gifts of the Spirit, all utterance and knowledge. They were waiting for the coming of the Lord. You say, "My, that must have been a good church." They had all the gifts of the Spirit in evidence. They had all utterance. They had good preaching, all knowledge. They were waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were premillennials. And yet, one can have all that and still be carnal. May I suggest, spiritual gifts are no sign of spirituality. May I repeat that? Spiritual gifts are no sign of spirituality. Having a great knowledge of Scripture doesn't make you spiritual. Spirituality is the enjoyment of Christ. You say, "Well, I want to be Spirit-filled." Well, Spirit-filled life is a life that's enjoying Christ personally. Not only knowing about the truth mentally, intellectually, but have that truth really living in your heart and in your life. I repeat what I said the other day. Most Christians are spoon-fed. Babyhood is wonderful in babies. It's grotesque in grown-up people, you see. Now, what was the place of this? See. What was the matter with them? They were living a divided life. I'll repeat that, because I want you to think of it. They were living a divided life, part for God and part for themselves. Three parts for themselves and one part for God. Let's get this thing very, very, very clear. The only way you and I can grow is in the Word of God, and to read that Word in fellowship with the Savior and grow and grow and grow. Well, Mr. Mitchell, don't you come to the place where you know the whole thing? Paul could write, we only know in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. 1 Corinthians 13. What I'm very desirous of is that you and I live on a high plane. Some Christians are walking and living on a high plane of spiritual life in Christ. And there are so many Christians living on a carnal plane, occupied with themselves. So little of their lives is given over to God, and they know so little of truth. But mark something else about them. You notice in verses 3 and 4, are you not carnal? Now remember, these are Christians. There's envying among you, there's strife, there are divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? You walk as the unsaved. While one saith, I am of Paul, another one, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Are you not carnal? Walk as men. In fact, I'm sure there are a great many people who are Christians. I'm not going to deny the fact that they love the Savior. But they're carnal. There's so little time. You can hardly tell the difference between them and the unsaved man on the street. God, give us people today who will walk with God day by day. Now let's go on. And you notice from verses 5 of chapter 3, we're in the end of chapter 4. We have the last great division of this section. He's talking here about being fellow workers. Fellow workers, the ministers of Christ. So the first thing I'm talking about is God's fellow workers. Chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Who then is Paul? In the fourth verse, he had said, one says, I'm of Paul. Another one says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with him. Let me just stop here for a few moments. The sign of carnality was following men. That's so easy to do, you know. It's so easy to follow men. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. Who is Paul? Nobody. Who's Apollos? Nobody. Who's Peter? Nobody. Who are you? Nobody. Just those to whom God operates for the salvation of men, for the building up of his people, especially for the exaltation of our wonderful Savior. It's so easy to follow men. I know that. Now, I'm not denying the fact that God has gifted men. There are some men who have great gift. Some have many gifts. Some have only one gift. Some bury their gift instead of using it. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? Just men through whom you believed. I have planted, says Paul. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So he that planted is nothing, he that waters nothing. But God, mark what he's doing. You've got to make each one of us have a part in this wonderful job of reaching men and women for Christ. You know, I've oftentimes said we're on God's team. At first part of verse 9, we are workers together with him. We are workers together with God. We're on God's team. Do you believe that? Some never get off the bench. They never do anything. And I want to say to you today that if you love the Savior, you're on God's team, whether you know it or not. The trouble is, we want the other man's gift. I'm a Paul. I like Paul, says somebody. Oh, I like Apollos. What are you? I'm Presbyterian. What are you? I'm Baptist. What are you? I'm Methodist. What are you? I'm Bible Church. What are you? Independent. You can go on down the line to 100 different groups. And we get so occupied with the little group we're in, nobody's right but us. May the Lord help us. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who are you? Who am I? Nobody. Just tools in the hands of God. Channels to relate to the world something of the glory and the beauty of the Savior who lives on the throne, who has put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself, gathering out a people for his name, transforming children of wrath into children of God. I want to tell you, my friend, blessed is the man and the woman who has gifts, public gifts, but they carry with them a danger. It's so easy to attract people to yourself. I say that sadly because all of us, I shouldn't say all of us, most of us are affected by it. It's so easy. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. It's so easy. And yet, who gave you the gift? The Lord did in sovereignty. He gave you the gift. And I want to tell you, my friend, today, wherever you are, whoever you are, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a gift of some kind. God's made you the way you are. And remember, God does not reward greatness. God rewards faithfulness. You might be unknown. You might be off in some little corner. But you're faithful to him. It may be on your knees. It may be just living for Christ in your neighborhood. It may be you've got a chance to witness to somebody. Or you might be given a gift to teach or to evangelize or to be a pastor like you have in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 on down through. You remember God has put the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry till we all come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Then you go down to verse 16 of that chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, where each one of us have a part in the body of Christ for its increase. I may only be a joint. You can't see a joint. A joint lubricates. If we didn't have joints, if we didn't have lubrication, we'd have stiff legs and stiff everything. You might be just a joint in that assembly where you are. But pour the oil on. Keep things running smoothly. Every joint supplies something for the increase of the body, that is, for people getting saved, and for the edifying of the body in love, for the edification of his people. You see, all ministries are not two things, either to bring people to Christ, and then to edify them, build them up, until they become no longer children tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but become men and women in Christ. The sad thing is there are so many carnal Christians. And then we get occupied with men. And even the men who are gifted of God oftentimes draw people to themselves. So Paul says, who is Paul? Nobody. Who is Apollos? Nobody. Who is Mitchell? Nobody. Whatever your name is. Just people by whom you believe. Do you remember in John chapter 4, our Lord's down there in Samaria and he'd been talking to a Samaritan woman. When the disciples came back from the village, you know, they said, has anybody fed him? And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Then he woke up and said, lift up your eyes and look, the field is already white to harvest. Then he said, some plant, some water, some do this and some do that. In fact, he said to the disciples, and you are entered into their labors. God rewards faithfulness. Let me encourage you, my friend. if you love the Savior and you're doing what you can to magnify Him in your life, that's the place where you ought to be. That means more to God than shouting from the housetops. Oh, you say, if I could only be a preacher like somebody else, where they get thousands and thousands and thousands. I know. You're looking at crowds. You're looking at what is being done instead of the Savior. God has made you just the way you are. Now let me say it. Don't try and get the other man's gift. If God wanted you to have that gift, He would have given it to you. He's made you different from anybody else in the world. You have a personality, a place in God's ministry, a place in God's family, in the Church of Christ that nobody else can take. Did you hear me? I know it says in chapter 12 and 14, covet the best gifts. But God is sovereign in the bestowal of gifts in chapter 12. All He wants is you and me. And He's made us just the way we are for a purpose. Who knows, through you, somebody will be brought to the Savior. Someone that nobody else could reach, but you can reach. The thing is for you and me to walk with God. Let Him, by the Spirit of God, lead us, guide us, to do the thing He wants us to do. And I'm sure of one thing. He rewards faithfulness, not greatness. So I just plead with your heart today. Whatever you are, whoever you are, be encouraged. Walk with the Lord. By the way, you know, let me repeat it. The Lord is hungry for your fellowship and mine. Let's not rob Him of that what He wants. He wants your fellowship and my fellowship. We get so filled up. We get so filled up with doing things, we miss Him. May the Lord make it real to you today and me today. I want to tell you who are not Christians, listening to my voice today, He's made provision for you to become one of His blessed children. And I just pray that you may just talk to Him. He means business. You come to Him. He said, He that cometh to Me, I will never cast out. He's never done it yet. He'll give you peace. He'll give you rest of heart. Now the Lord bless you for His name's sake.